Bowl 49 is in the rearview mirror, a distant memory. The winds of March bring change, and in the early days of free agency, they have been blowing gale force around the league and here in New England. Welcome to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. The first stages of the team-building process have begun, and the Patriots have lots of work to do. Jackie Britton begins the show with a status report.
A fourth Lombardi Trophy is headed to one Patriot place.
The confetti had barely finished falling when the Super Bowl championship was in the rearview mirror. And now it's on to building the 2015 roster. The free agency frenzy happened in a hurry. Captain Devin McCourty signed his name on the dotted line to ensure his loyalty to New England.
McCourty picks it off. Interception, New England.
However, gone is Shane Vereen to the New York Giants. Gone is Darrelle Revis to the New York Jets. And also gone is his cornerback counterpart, Brandon Browner. But they have made moves defensively, signing linebacker Jabal Sheard out of Cleveland. After being selected early in the second round in 2011, the Patriots now have a chance to see what he can do in this defense.
The whole thrill of winning, as soon as I came here and met with the coaches and the team and being around the organization, is just that whole culture feeling of winning.
And free agency has only just begun.
When players become free, their contracts become free, the good players are in great demand. And fortunately, we have quite a few good players who are now free agents, and we'll do our best to keep them.
They say March comes in like a lion. Well, in the NFL, that couldn't be more accurate, as 31 other teams work to stampede the one that holds the Lombardi Trophy high. For Patriots All Access, I'm Jackie Britton.
All right, Jackie, thank you very much. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo in our Bob's Discount Furniture studio. And, all right, the big question, the departure of Revis, how did we get here? And I say that with all seriousness.
I understand totally where the question's coming. I wish I had a definitive answer for you. I don't think there are that many people outside of Revis himself that know exactly why. But my gut feeling is I just think he wanted to go back to New York. I don't think the money was outrageous. Mm-hmm. I thought that it would be one of those things, if the Jets blew him away, he'd go back to the Jets. But great contract, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of money. $39 million guaranteed is a lot, but I think he wanted to go back to New York.
When I look at it from the Patriots' perspective, I think if they really wanted to have Revis, what they needed to do was pick up that option for the second year, because once he became a free agent, what became clear to us that we didn't know leading into free agency, because Revis keeps his card so close to the vest, was how badly he wanted to be back in New York. So I look at it from Bill Belichick's perspective. I think he's negotiating with Revis and his agents, back at the combine in February, thinking he's got a legitimate shot to get him, to extend the contract. And I think once the Jets got involved, that sort of tilted the scales.
Do you think that if the Patriots had matched the Jets' offer, he would still be a Patriot?
Again, gut feeling, don't know for sure. I don't think so.
And instead of me answering that question, Steve, I'll let Devin McCourty answer it with what he said to your exact question. He said it was his sense that Revis just wanted to go back to New York, that he liked it there, that he wanted to go back last year, and had the Jets wanted him last year, he would have never come to New England. And that comes from Devin McCourty. Look, as much as I like what we say, Devin McCourty played with him. He shared a meeting room with him. He'd probably know a little bit better.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Stick around, because we'll be back with more of the fallout of Revis and where the Patriots go from here. We'll be back with much more of Patriots All Access right after this. Stay with us.
Coming up on All Access.
How important is the combine? We'll try to answer that question. But first, a small town hero's welcome home for Malcolm Butler.
Vicksburg is just like him. They just underdog that keep on fighting.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We'll be right back.
a special guest joining us, Rob Gronkowski.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You and I aren't comparing hands.
No, no.
Because I need to leave here and at least feel like a man when I do.
You don't seem too small to me.
I guess I'm just right. I don't know.
And the Grammy goes to...
Once again, another interception by Malcolm.
Tom does a great job for us.
I mean, he's my age. Are you worried about that?
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi. Pepsi and the New England Patriots. A wicked good team.
As you just saw in the immediate aftermath of the Super Bowl, the Patriots were in high demand. And there was probably no one in more demand than Malcolm Butler. His Super Bowl heroics earned him invites to A-list events around the country. One invitation held a special meaning as it came from his hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
And whereas the citizen of Vicksburg, Mississippi, honored Malcolm Butler for never giving up on his dream.
He's the absolute finest example. He really is of a young person who has a goal, of a young person who falls down but gets back up, you know, until I retire. He'll be the number one role model from Vicksburg High School.
I do hereby proclaim Malcolm C. Butler Week.
Vicksburg, it's a good city. It means a lot to me. Born and raised, I went to Vicksburg High School.
One thing about it, this town here, we love football. We're a scrappy town. It's a, you know, working class, you know, hard nosed. We love our football. We love our players from our hometown.
When I was younger, I always said that I never wanted to, I wasn't going to move away from it.
Who, you know, who is this kid from Vicksburg? I want to know. You know, I want to know something about this kid. I want to know his story. I want to know how did he get from Popeye to the Super Bowl.
We're all just extremely proud of not only his success, but how he got to where he got to.
When he came to me as a ninth grader, fantastic ninth grader. I mean, I'm licking my chops. I got this kid 3 more years. Then had a little problem with his grades, kind of got off track.
It was just like something was blind to me, and you know, when didn't want me to see what the potential and the things I could do. And you know, I finally got away from those things and played football my 12th grade year, had an outstanding season. And you know, my coach, Timothy Hughes, he was like, do you want to go play junior college ball? I was like, yeah, I'll play.
I always thought Malcolm had the athletic skills to play on any level.
I go to junior college. They took up my whole day. And it was new to me. And I was like, kind of like getting frustrated, like, this what goes on? And tour days, all that. I didn't have a taste of that. I was new to it. And one day, you know, I threw it all away. I set out, went back to Popeye, started working. I let some people down.
Several years went by, and I would go through the Popeye's line and say, keep your head up, keep God first.
But I did not give up. I enrolled in a summer D program and got some class hours for the summer of 2010. I just didn't want to be one of those guys that's like, if I would have did. You know, so I'd rather go all the way to the end and say I did my best instead of get halfway and say I could have did this. So I just took advantage of my opportunities and I made the best of it.
Who would have think a rookie would make a break on a ball like that? I mean, that was big time. That was Deion Sanders, Darrell, that's all the great corners. And Malcolm made that great play, you know. And I just, you know, I jumped about 20 feet in there.
we're all just extremely proud.
I can't even express how wonderful it feels.
You hear Malcolm always say about being dedicated to Vicksburg, his town, because Vicksburg is just like him. They're just an underdog that keep on fighting.
Thank you, Vicksburg. I appreciate everything.
Well over 1,000 media credentials were issued for the NFL Combine. No question the league has created an event. But how much value do the clubs actually get out of it? Bob Soucy explains.
Less than 3 weeks after Malcolm Butler clinched their fourth Super Bowl title, the Patriots join the other 31 teams trying to build the NFL's next champion, as well as more than 1,000 credentialed media at the league's annual scouting combine. In their sights, the event's 300-plus invitees eligible for this year's draft, ranging from some of the most prominent personalities out of college football's most powerful programs to much lower-profile prospects trying to seize a once-in-their-lifetime opportunity.
We don't get a chance to have all 32 NFL teams really anywhere throughout the whole process other than here. It's an unbelievable opportunity and one you can't find anywhere else.
Meanwhile, for teams like the Patriots, the various tests, drills, and interviews during Combine Week are just a small part of a year-long evaluation.
You take all the information and try to put it into one concise profile in terms of front at the end saying, here's what we have in the player, and ultimately you have to be able to identify this is the player's role for our team and how we're going to utilize that.
Which, according to one of the most respected personnel men in pro football history, is a strength of the Pats, given how they value versatility.
I think that Bill looks for those type of people that may have done something different in high school or at college that weren't as noticeable, that you can move them to a different position and do well with them.
Ultimately, says another longtime exec headed for the Hall of Fame, New England's success lies in the way its players, whether high-profile studs or diamonds in the rough, are coached once they get to Foxborough.
Since I've been a radio analyst with ESPN, I've come to have a completely different view of how the Patriots play and how well they're coached and how well they're put together. They do week in and week out in every phase of the game as good or better a job than anyone in the NFL coaching.
For Patriots All Access, I'm Bob Soucy.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Seattle down four, but on the verge of the lead.
This is where Three Games to Glory is different from any other way you can see the Super Bowl and the playoff games.
Wilson, quick throw. And it's good. Intercepted. Butler has it at the one.
You'll see every single play from every single playoff game through the eyes of NFL film footage.
We have all this behind-the-scenes stuff that really we don't get. So it's the best of both worlds.
This disc is the encyclopedia for this time in Patriots history. This isn't just highlights. It is the compendium of what this team went through in these playoffs.
You can pre-order Three Games to Glory 4 on DVD and Blu-ray. Order now at Patriots.com.
Welcome back to our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And again, we're going back to Darrell Revis because you can't replace a guy like that. Or maybe you can. Well, do you guys have some magic formula to...
I don't. Obviously, you're not going to get a guy of that caliber, so we can forget that. But they've won a lot of games in the past without Darrell Revis on the roster. So I have, you know, a fair amount of confidence in Bill Belichick and his ability to patch it together. I do think there'll be some differences, though. I think you're going to have to change some of the things that we really liked about the defense last year, most notably, you know, that press man coverage that they played for a lot of the year.
Two things here. You know, the first is it obviously stings because, you know, on March 13th, you're not as good of a football team as you were on March 10th when free agency began. Because when you lose a player like Darrell Revis, you do take a step back. But you know what? There's a long way to go till you play a game. And who's better at sort of reinventing themselves and adjusting over time than Bill Belichick and the Patriots? That's the first thing. The second thing that Paul mentioned about the press man coverage, I think that ties in to Brandon Browner. And a lot of people have been asking, why isn't he back? And you almost look at Revis and Browner as a package deal here, because with Browner, you're locked in to that style of play. That's really what he is. Press man, get up at the line of scrimmage. If you don't have Revis, you might not be able to play that style going forward. So that, I think those two sort of marry up.
Because that was interesting, because it didn't seem to be a tremendous amount of money. I know money was a factor. I know they looked at him as the number two guy and, you know, sort of, you know, $5.5 million or something in that neighborhood, maybe getting a little bit higher. But then you see when free agency opens up and some of the guys, you know, like Maxwell in Seattle, Kareem Jackson, you know, making some pretty big money. I look at those guys as number two guys, really, ideally. So I think Browner, you know, Browner's a loss, but I think Mike's point is a valid one. I think that that's the only style that's really conducive to his skill set.
There's a guy in the middle, number 75, that's looking elsewhere as well, Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
How much of a hole will he leave?
Well, this gets back to what Mike's point about the possible changes of the way they play scheme-wise. You know, you had Dominique Easley was the number one pick last year, and he's a smaller guy. He's not a Vince clone. He's not a backup to Vince. Now, they have Silver Salinga, who is more in that mold, but you're going to need more than that in terms of the bulk up front. And if you want to play that same old style, you know, kind of a guy that can two-gap up front and stuff the run, you're going to need a bigger body in there than what they have. You know, certainly more depth than Salinga, who's been battling injuries during his short time as a Patriot. So I think they need to find something there. If Vince, you know, whatever happens to Vince, we don't know, but they're going to need to have some kind of solution inside.
I'll talk about what void it leaves sort of off the field, because I think Paul captured it on the field. And you know, that's the leader of the defense in many ways. And I think they have other leaders. So I don't think there's necessarily, you know, a void that where other players can't step up. But that presence is missed. And we saw it with Logan Mankins early last season. There was a little bit of a process there, you know, that the players had to overcome. I think what will help them, obviously, is that if Wilfork isn't back. And I'm not convinced it's over, Steve.
Okay. A lot of changes.
Yeah.
Still early. We'll see what the Patriots do. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that will do it for this edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody. See you later.